Tom is an awesome man of God. He's been through lots of life. So everybody who's been through a lot of life knows that that's got really high points and really low points. And he's faithful to Jesus. Yeah, he is a friend of God. So Father, I just bless Tom. I ask that your words would come through him. Lord, I ask for the miracle. Release the miracle of hearing into our midst, the miracle of communication, that you would take the things that Tom speaks and bloom them into our lives, that they would bring forth the fruit that you have intended, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So yes, as Lorraine shared, I call it the glory and the gory. You take the yell out, and I've seen lots of both, but I like to focus on the glory. So I've asked a couple people to help me get started here today. So Josh, if you would come up to this corner, and Christina, if you would come up to this corner, please. We're going to do this in three chapters. Sorry, I'm back. Yes.
Josh, this way.
Okay. I think that's what I had.
Somebody already asked me if I'm the glory or the glory.
You're the glory, yeah. So we're going to do this in three chapters. A couple of stories. Just they're going to read for us. And then we'll do a little thing together. And then there'll be a story that I'll tell briefly. And then we'll see how God wants to work between us as we go. So, let's start with Josh. So just listen, we're not going to put this up on the screens, familiar to many of us. It's just an opportunity to listen, see how the Holy Spirit wants to begin to speak to us.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from... A man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as he did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting them to get something from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God.
Yeah. So a little bit of faith go up in the room when you heard that? A little bit?
One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they'd caught. As were the others with him. His partner, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
So there's a journey between these places. It's a journey, well, we can do it backwards. So this is about the year 30, what we now call a Christian era. And if we walk 3 years backwards in time, we come to the year 27, when Jesus began his ministry and called his disciples. And so, there's all kinds of things the Holy Spirit's already doing. What I'd like to do is us together do a resume of Peter. We could do Peter and John, they're both involved in both these stories. Peter tends to get more prominence, he speaks more. But let's do a resume in the year 27. And I've asked Emma just to put up a screen and we'll just pop the stuff in it really quickly. So, in this year, if Peter had to apply for a job, how many have applied for a job here recently? Anyone had to put a resume together? Quite a few. Okay, so if Peter were applying for a job in the year 27, what would come on his resume? Fisherman. Profession, fisherman. Education? Zero. Zero. Maybe he had some very basic education. Okay, skill set? Fishing? What else went with fishing? Mending nets? Rowing a boat? He knew water? We know something else he could do.
Meteorologist.
He could read weather. Good. Yeah. Anything else in his skill set? He could talk? Yes, he could. Yeah, from early on. Anything else? He could swim. Yeah, that was part of his skill set. Presumably he knew something about mending boats as well, perhaps. What? Sorry? Pardon me? Did he know how to cook fish? Yeah, I can imagine. Did he know how to sort fish? I bet he knew his types of fish. I have no idea what kind of fish would come out of the Sea of Galilee, but he would have known. Presumably he would have known how to clean them, whatever, or they wouldn't cook. He was a businessman of some sort too, presumably. He had to sell his catch. And he had boldness in his skill set. Yeah, if you go down, if you drill down in a CD, you get down to the attributes, the personal attributes. What is it you want people to know about you? Now, team? Yeah. He knew team. He worked with partners. Good. Hard working. Yes. Up all night.
You might not want everybody to know it, but he claimed to be a sinner.
Right. He might not put that on his CD. But yes. Okay. Anything else before we travel forward in time? Okay, let's think about the journey then for Peter of the 3 years between that spot when he was called by Jesus and when he got over here with John. Now going up to the temple, weren't they, Josh? So, if he was doing a CV in the year 30 after Jesus had gone back to heaven doing a resume, what would he put on it?
No money.
No money? Good. What would he say his profession was?
Taylor.
Fisher at the end. Okay. Skill set?
He's a leader.
He's a leader. Good. Public speaker. Healer. Apostle. Evangelist. Prayer warrior. Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, a little bit of a fisherman. We know he went out at least once after Jesus was risen from the dead. Yeah. Pardon me? He was a believer. Yes, anything else we could add to the package? Yeah, that's right. He walked. Well, I put that down under hobbies, maybe. Water walking. Sort of. Work some days, not so good the others. I don't know if he put that on his resume. Someone else said something. A writer?
Holy Spirit filled.
He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So a CV looks quite different. And the question is, how did he get from there to there? Well, it's really interesting. This story that Josh read, it says before that that the apostles performed all kinds of miraculous signs. I'm curious. But this one's picked out, it appears, because it leads to collision with the ruling religious authorities. It goes on in a subsequent chapter, and when they question Peter and John, does anyone recall what they say when they hear Peter and John speak? They're astonished. They're uneducated men, simple, uneducated men, but they have been with Jesus. So, what's going on here? Just let him continue to talk to you. Yes. Simple, uneducated men who had been with Jesus. So they'd done what we might call an apprenticeship for 3 years with the very best ministry. Not better. If you wanted to learn how to extend the kingdom, see the kingdom of heaven come to earth, learn to heal the sick, see the dead come back to life, see people delivered from bondage and oppression, and so on. There was nobody like Jesus. So they had been through a long course together. And so the conclusion of chapter 1 is that when Jesus called Peter and John and the other two brothers that day with the great catch of fish, he demonstrated what it meant to catch men. He gave them a great catch of fish, and they captured their hearts. And I find this very amusing, because the fisherman, Simon, was an expert, but the carpenter did it way better. The carpenter almost sunk his boat, or two boats, John's boat too. Jesus, the great catcher of fish, is also the catcher of men. So the conclusion I come to, if you read in Mark chapter 3, it says he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach to have authority to drive out demons. That's when he chose all 12. These 4 were chosen first. The New Jerusalem Bible translates it this way. And he appointed 12. They were to be his companions and to be sent out to proclaim the message with the power to drive out devils. So, conclusion to chapter 1 is this. Jesus wanted friends who were also learners and partners with him. He wanted them to be his friends. He didn't just choose partners and those who would do his bidding. Or learners. Friends and learners. Friends and learners. Partners. Together. And he invited them on the great adventure with him to find out what it was like to be a disciple. The term disciple just means learner, student, or pupil. And that's what they were for 3 years. So you can stay where you are, both of you, if you like. If you're comfortable there, by all means. God may continue to speak to you there. So please. Chapter 2. Story from me. Back in the mid-1980s, Joey, my wife, and myself came from Ontario because I found work here. And we landed in Victoria, went looking for a church, and in a few months we looked like happenstance, ended up in something called the Vineyard.
Yay.
Which we didn't know anything about. It was relatively new at the time. I'm not here to tell the story of the Vineyard, but I want to pick up something in the Vineyard that was central to what I believe it deposited in the church. Stored in terms of the very thing we're talking about. Because the leader of the Vineyard, John Wimber, how many have heard of John Wimber? I'm just curious about you. Good. Okay, so quite a few, but not all. John Wimber was in the entertainment industry in California. He had a dramatic encounter with Jesus. He started to study the Word, and then he started to go to church. And when he got to church, sat there and he thought, when are they going to do the stuff? Because he'd read the New Testament. And he was going to these churches, and none of the New Testament was happening in the church, except the teaching and the preaching and the worship. But what about the healings? What about the miracles? What about the demonstrations of power? What about setting people free? Was that gone? And he didn't believe it was. So he went on a journey with others, with friends. There were many who ultimately followed John to see the activity of the kingdom released again to God's people. That we would be disciples in practice, not just in title. or name. And so he came up with, and this is something he bequeathed to the church, it's not talked about much anymore, it's been internalized, I think, in many quarters, but something he called the five-step model of prayer. How many have heard of that? Lots fewer, just a handful. It was really simple. I internalized it after using it for a year or two, so I don't think about the steps, I have to look at them. If you sit down with someone and you want to see the kingdom come, five things happen. You interview. What's the problem? You dialogue. Number two, you make some kind of diagnostic decision about what the origins of that issue might be. Number three, you select some kind of prayer. Jesus, as we know, he didn't pray the same way every time for healing. There was variety in what he did. And it wasn't random variety. It was purposeful because he was listening to his Father, which we'll get to. So you select a prayer, then you pray, number four. And the last thing is, when that's done, you may receive from the Holy Spirit counsel to give, to encourage, and to protect the very thing that you've done. Terms of praying, inviting the Spirit to come. That's the five-step model. I'm not going to go through it further today. People who are really good at it, David Hickson's really good at teaching it, can break it down and take each of those steps, and they'll spend a week on it. Various ways you can learn within them and become effective. But that was the goal, to become effective. Not to have all wisdom or knowledge or understanding, but to be able to participate with Jesus, to partner with Jesus, to see his kingdom come. Now, living. What I like, and this is the theme for me today, one of the central things I like about the five-step model of prayer is that it's based on interaction. Constant listening. Every one of those five steps is an invitation to hear the Spirit of God, what he's doing, what he's saying. We're not on our own. Again, we're partnering. When Jesus went back to his Father, he said, I'll give you a gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He'll be your boldness. He'll be your insight and power. So we're learning from him now. So we become trainees of the Holy Spirit in a listening way. That leads to chapter 3, because I want to pick up on that focal point within the five-step model of interactive listening. I think it's the key to ministry with Jesus. Think about the disciples. On that 3-year journey, they did all kinds of different things. But they spent a lot of their time watching and listening. How did Jesus do it? And again, it wasn't the formula. One time, he touched a person, they were healed. Another time, he spit on the ground, made mud to get healed. Another time, he just spoke. Another time, he just said, yes, be healed, when they asked, when they begged, and so on and so forth. Sometimes, he'd take them by the hand. We know from John chapter 5 that Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. So he lived a life of constant listening. It wasn't a burden to him. It was freedom. It was freedom. I get to do what my Father's doing, and I get to do it the way he does it.
Come on.
I don't know anything better than that. And that's what God's invited us to. Be partners with me. Be my friend. And be my partner. And I'll lead you in this. And it'll be a source of joy. So let's take a minute. Again, just to interact. And we can do this a number of ways, but let me ask you, what is, for you personally, the way that you best hear God? There's all kinds of different ways. We can just list them randomly, but I want to ask you personally, for you, anybody, how do you best hear? How do you most usually hear, perhaps? In your car? So what is it about the car, Kelly? Oh, I'm sorry, Tracy. I don't have my glasses on.
I don't know. It's just, I guess, because, I don't really listen to radio, and it's quiet, and I don't know.
Okay, and do you hear words? Do you get pictures? What is it that's happening in your car?
It's kind of
Okay, yeah. Internal voice. Good.
Sometimes
in the future, or like I might even see something outside, like, and then it's like,
oh,
that,
I feel like that's something that God's showing, you know, like, about my life that maybe I
haven't
had a question about or something.
Good, thank you. Anyone else? How do you hear? John?
In my mind, somehow something
yeah.
tells me I gotta do something.
Sure. Yep. It's like an impression or words in your mind. Others? Yep.
When I'm reading the Bible, all of a sudden the word will just
read out. Holy Spirit highlight when you're reading scripture. Wonderful. I saw a couple other hands. Someone over here. Yes.
While in worship, I got like picture images of things that God says.
Yes. So pictures in worship? Yep. Vivid dreams. And do you find guidance and direction in them?
Yeah.
The Lord?
Cool.
Yeah.
Early morning prayer.
Early morning prayer. That dialogue with Jesus. Yes, right at the very back.
Journaling.
It's another great way. Yeah. Cool. Gardening. So when you're in the garden, how does God speak to you? Visions in the garden.
By the ocean.
By the ocean. Anyone else?
Watching life.
Watching life. What do you mean, Lorraine?
Well, I'm thinking
Yeah, that's wonderful. So that's really interesting. Habakkuk 2:1. I will take my station and my watch and look to see what the Lord will say to me. So the eyes become the hook to the ears. I will look to see what the Lord says. One more, yeah.
Can I focus on life, just thinking about what's happening in my life and about decisions, just like when I'm thinking about it, being focused on it, not zoned out, you know, educating my mind with other nonsense, just like focus on life.
Yep.
Usually an answer, like not an answer, but just a phrase or a feeling will come over to you, like, that's not what I was thinking. Or
yes.
What I was planning or whatever. It's just, this is what you should do, or this is what is happening. Or...
Yeah, very good. So, just being in a place where it's as though something intrudes, but it's not an intrusion. It's exactly what you need. But you couldn't have called it in that way if you died for it. Not going to happen. So that touches something really crucial that I want to talk about for a couple minutes, then we'll do a little exercise. Follow me on this a little bit. It's a bit of a curve. Back in Genesis chapter 6, there's a verse there, verse 5, that opens up the story of the flood and of Noah. But it says this, the Lord saw how great the wickedness, this is the curve, by the way, this is like, where's it going? Anyway, listen. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Now you can unpack that. There's things in there about the heart as thoughts, as inclinations, and they could be good or evil. All I want to say about it here is this. Humans, created in God's image, have lost the core piece of who God is. Because you can take that verse and read it this way. I'm convinced, and if you have an objection, put your hand up. For God himself, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart is only good all the time. Anyone have a problem with that? I'll say it again. Every inclination of the thoughts of God's heart is only good all the time. So that leads us then to where we were in the middle of worship. That song that was, which I didn't know, based on Psalm 139. About how well God knows us. How intimately and in such detail. There's a verse 17-18 in Psalm 139 that says this. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. So, if we accept that every inclination of the thoughts of the heart of our Father in heaven is only good, and that he has an infinite number of thoughts towards each one of us, we have a place we can go to listen. So I have a question for you. It says that these thoughts, David the psalmist says, I can't count them. They're like grains of sand. He doesn't say they're like a seashore that is packed down, or that they're rolling around in the surf. He just says they're infinitely large in number. There's so many of them. So let's ask, can we ask the Lord a question here for a couple of minutes? And as you shared, sir, I don't know your name. Evan? Don't try. I'm just going to ask the Lord a question. We'll see what he says. So, the Lord has told us in his word that his thoughts towards us are infinite in number and therefore good. Every single one of them is for good. So, Father, I ask that anything you want to show us about what that looks like, that you have an infinite outpouring of thoughts towards each one of us. So some of you will hear just like that. That's usually how it happens for me. Some will meditate. There's places you can go with what you get. But let's just pop a few things that the Lord showed you. Stacy, something came to you, obviously.
If you've been sitting there in the summer and you're just enjoying the sun, and maybe one of your kids comes up to you with a nice cold bucket of water and just hammers it right into your face. And the first thought I had of that is being hit by a cold bucket of water and then just a big grin on my face. Like, that was an amazing change of pace. Just something like the way God can do that. It's just so refreshing and life-giving.
Wow! Did everyone hear that? Yeah? Like a bucket of ice cold water when you're sitting in the sun, right in the face. God's thoughts. Yes?
For me, it was an instant image of the most beautiful rose, yellow, fragrant, and it's like his presence is sweet.
Yeah, so, and you can feel it. Now, let's pause right there. We have a bucket of ice water, and we have a beautiful rose. Is God really confused? No, he's infinite. We're not building theological truth right now. We're not going to write a new scripture that says, when you feel the bucket of ice water in your face, or see the rose, you'll know the Spirit of God has come. It's not what we're doing. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about heart to heart. And he knows every single one of us so well that he speaks in the language that touches my heart and your heart. Anyone else? Yeah, at the back. Sure.
He showed me snowflakes, and they're just so beautiful and perfect and hexagonal, and they're also infinite in their design and shape and frequency and how, yeah, he has that towards us, and he thinks we're all unique.
Yes. Snowflake. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Joy.
I just saw a waterfall. It's like you're standing in that waterfall and it's never ceasing.
Yeah, if it's infinite, the flow. Another way, yes?
My best mate.
Your best mate.
My best mate.
Huh? Yeah, that close.
Well, I just saw him holding my heart in his hands, and he's like, I got you. He's the same place. He's there with me every moment.
Yeah, so some of you may not have heard that. Kelsey saw God was holding her heart in his hands. Because he's there every and everything. Christina? Yes. Al.
What's big for me is that he knows my name.
He knows your name? Yes. Yeah. One more? Again.
Like an ocean
on the beach, like coming up big rocks, not sand, but little pebbles, every one of them is diamonds. Like, the stars are so good, so beautiful, and so many.
Yes. So pebbles on a beach, but they're diamonds.
Infinite number of diamonds. So I have encouraged. Well, first of all, a question. Not all of us can share. How many got some kind of thought or impression or something when I asked that question? I see hands. Lots. Lots and lots. Say it's really easy. It's child's play. Because we're his children. So here's what I'd like to do for the last 4 minutes, if I could. Jenny, would you be willing to come and join me? So one of the wonderful things about this, and this brings us back, if you like, that we're here for each other, you can come and sit right here. is that we can do this for each other. So, the Lord has an infinite flow of thoughts of goodness for Jenny. So, Lord, give us one. Spread, right? Lots. Or what do you want to show us? Out of the flow you're giving to her.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just fire away.
Be well pleased.
Gentle spirit. Joy, are you keeping track of these? Thank you.
Faithfulness.
Righteous.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
I got
faithful to the end.
Faithful to the end. He is undone by you.
Whoa.
Integral.
Yeah. Integrity. Yeah.
You are my sunshine.
You're a lighthouse. She's
the lighthouse. Oh.
Daughter of the King.
Blessings.
Blessings.
A queen who goes to war.
An amazing mother. Jenny doesn't know this, but when she walked in this morning, I started coming down. So when Maureen shared what she just shared, I knew she was coming, but I didn't know she was going to walk in. Anything else?
Yes, for you.
Yeah. Sorry?
Courage.
Empathy.
Sweetness.
Yeah. Heart
of gold.
Heart of gold.
She's chosen.
Chosen.
Joy and light.
Joy and light.
I've seen him give me glass slippers.
Sorry?
I've seen him give me glass slippers.
A big crown on her head.
Yeah. She sees a crown on her head.
Life giver.
Now, Joey's keeping track of these because these are not idle words. Not just good ideas. And affirmations. These come out of that stream or whatever it is. You saw a bucket of water, the rose, whatever it is. It is the life of God that keeps us all alive.
Wisdom.
Teacher.
Strong in the Lord.
Okay, strong in the Lord. So, it's really interesting. One of the things we talked about at the end of Cultivating a Hearing Heart was how generally it's easier to hear for someone else than for ourselves when it's good. Is that true for anyone else here? And so we get to bless each other in this way. We get to see into the goodness of God for each other. Pass it on. So my encouragement out of this, because again, disciples learn, right? Practice. One of the things I like to do when I show up here on a Sunday is just go, Lord, is there anyone I can encourage? Is there anyone I can encourage? I just want to listen. So I'm worshiping, doing whatever, listening to the message, and at the same time, I'm just tuning in, listening to the Holy Spirit. It's a privilege. And if you practice it, here's the other thing that I think is super cool. If you practice it, you'll get better at doing it with people not in this context. You can start to speak encouragement in all kinds of places, because you'll see. Does the Father have the same flow happening for everyone on the face of the earth? As best I can tell, it does. How else would we have gotten here if we had to get our act together first before the goodness of God started to flow to us? So, Father, I thank you that we get to be pupils, learners, and that you are a teacher who starts in love, ends in love, and shows us things about love all along the way. And that you desire to equip us so that we can give away your love wherever we are. So we receive the blessing. We receive the flow. Those countless thoughts towards us, and that you would help us to live in a place of receiving.